How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks.
In the small English village of Borley, Essex, there once stood a house that would become the subject of one of the most infamous hauntings in history. Known as Borley Rectory, it was built in 1862 by the Reverend Henry Bull. At first glance, it was an unremarkable Victorian Gothic-style house, intended to serve as the residence for the rector of the local parish. But from the moment the Bull family moved in, the house seemed to be inhabited by something far darker than its simple brick walls suggested. For more than 70 years, Borley Rectory would be the center of strange and terrifying events. Its reputation as the most haunted house in England would grow, attracting the attention of curious visitors, paranormal investigators, and skeptics alike. At the heart of the mystery was a long-dead nun, shadowy figures, phantom footsteps, and violent poltergeist activity. Borley Rectory would become a symbol of the unexplained, a place where the line between the living and the dead seemed to vanish. The haunting began almost immediately after the Bull family moved in. Reverend Henry Bull, along with his wife and children, settled into the rectory, which stood on a site reputed to have a dark history. According to local legend, the rectory was built on land that had once been part of a monastery, and that within the walls of that monastery, a tragic love affair had taken place. A monk and a nun, defying their vows, had fallen in love and attempted to elope. They were caught before they could escape. The monk was executed, and the nun was reportedly bricked up alive within the walls of her convent. Her spirit, it was said, would forever wander the grounds of Borley, seeking redemption or revenge. It didn't take long for the Bull family to begin noticing strange things happening around the house. The most common apparition reported was that of the nun, seen gliding silently along the path near the rectory garden. She would appear in broad daylight, her dark robes fluttering in the breeze as if moved by an unseen force. But she never acknowledged those who saw her. She would simply drift across the grounds and disappear into thin air, leaving those who witnessed her filled with dread. Reverend Bull himself reportedly saw the nun on several occasions, and instead of fleeing in fear, he became strangely fascinated by her. He even built a summer house at one end of the garden where he could sit and watch for her appearance. It seemed the Bull family had grown accustomed to the presence of their spectral visitor, but it wasn't just the sight of the nun that disturbed them. Throughout their time at Borley Rectory, the family reported hearing disembodied footsteps echoing through the halls late at night, as though someone or something was walking through the house while the family slept. Objects would move on their own. Chairs would be found out of place, and small items would vanish, only to reappear in the most unlikely locations. Even more unsettling were the cold spots that seemed to follow members of the family from room to room, areas where the temperature would drop drastically, despite there being no apparent cause. As the years passed, the activity at Borley Rectory grew more intense. After Henry Bull's death, his son, Reverend Harry Bull, took over the rectory and continued to experience the same paranormal phenomena his father had witnessed. It was during his tenure that the most famous sightings of the Phantom Nun occurred, and it seemed that whatever presence haunted the house had become more brazen. Servants and visitors alike began to report strange happenings, unexplained sounds, the feeling of being watched, and objects moving without explanation. But it wasn't until 1927, when the Bull family finally left the rectory, that the haunting reached its terrifying peak. After the departure of the Bulls, the house was left vacant for some time. But in 1928, a new rector, Reverend Guy Smith, and his wife moved in, unaware of the house's dark reputation. From the moment they set foot inside, they were struck by the eerie atmosphere. It wasn't long before they, too, began to experience the strange and unsettling events that had plagued the Bull family for decades. One of the first discoveries the Smiths made was in the cellar of the house, where they found a human skull wrapped in brown paper, hidden away as if someone or something wanted it to remain undisturbed. The discovery was just the beginning. Soon, the Smiths began to hear the same phantom footsteps that had echoed through the rectory during the Bull's time. Doors would slam shut on their own, lights would flicker, and strange, disembodied voices would whisper in the dead of night. But it was not until the arrival of Reverend Lionel Foister and his wife, Marianne, in 1930 that the haunting became violent. The Foisters had come to Borley Rectory with their young adopted daughter, hoping to make a home in the quiet countryside. What they encountered was a nightmare. Almost immediately, Marianne became the focus of intense paranormal activity. She reported being thrown from her bed by unseen forces, slapped, scratched, and even locked in rooms without any explanation. The poltergeist activity was relentless. Objects were hurled across rooms, furniture was overturned, and mysterious writing began to appear on the walls, seemingly scrawled by a hand no one could see. Messages addressed to Marianne appeared on the walls, written in childlike handwriting, pleading for help. "Marianne, please help," one message read, while another simply said, "Rest." The writings, combined with the physical attacks on Marianne, left the family terrified and desperate for answers. Reverend Foister attempted to exorcise the house several times, but each attempt seemed only to provoke the entity further. The paranormal activity continued unabated, and after 5 years of torment, the Foister family finally fled Borley Rectory in 1935. It seemed that whatever haunted the house had won, and for a time the rectory sat empty once more. But Borley Rectory's story was far from over. In 1929, even before the Foisters had left, renowned paranormal investigator Harry Price had taken an interest in the case. Price had long been fascinated by reports of hauntings, and Borley Rectory presented the perfect opportunity for a serious investigation. He visited the rectory several times, documenting the strange events and even conducting seances in an attempt to communicate with the spirits that seemed to inhabit the house. In 1937, 2 years after the Foisters left, Price decided to take his investigation to the next level. He rented the rectory for an entire year and assembled a team of volunteers to live in the house and record any paranormal activity. Over the course of that year, the team reported numerous strange occurrences, unexplained knocks, shadowy figures, and the ever-present cold spots that seemed to follow them wherever they went. Some even claimed to see the ghostly nun still wandering the grounds as she had for decades. But the most dramatic event occurred in 1939, when Borley Rectory was destroyed by fire. The official cause was said to be an overturned oil lamp, but many believed that the fire was the result of paranormal forces. Witnesses reported seeing ghostly figures through the windows of the burning building, and even as the flames consumed the rectory, strange noises continued to emanate from within. Even after the fire, the hauntings didn't stop. Paranormal activity was still reported on the grounds where Borley Rectory once stood. Visitors claimed to hear footsteps, voices, and, of course, the ever-present figure of the nun. Harry Price returned to Borley after the fire to conduct one final investigation, and in 1946, he published his findings in a book titled The End of Borley Rectory. In it, he concluded that the house had indeed been haunted by numerous spirits, including the restless soul of the nun and the violent poltergeist that had tormented the Foister family. But not everyone was convinced by Price's findings. In the years that followed, critics began to question the validity of the Borley Rectory haunting. Some accused Price of exaggerating the events, while others suggested that much of the paranormal activity could have been caused by natural phenomena, psychological factors, or even deliberate hoaxes. Skeptics pointed to Marianne Foister's later admission that she had fabricated some of the incidents in an attempt to draw attention to the rectory's strange history. Despite these claims, many of Price's followers remained steadfast in their belief that Borley Rectory was truly haunted. They pointed to the overwhelming number of eyewitness accounts and the sheer variety of paranormal activity as evidence that something unexplainable had occurred within those walls. To this day, Borley Rectory remains one of the most hotly debated hauntings in the history of the paranormal. The building itself may be gone, but the legend of Borley Rectory endures. For decades, it stood as a testament to the unknown, a place where the living and the dead seemed to coexist, where the past refused to stay buried, and where terror lurked around every corner. Even now, the grounds where Borley Rectory once stood are visited by those seeking a glimpse of its haunted past. And while the house may no longer exist, its reputation as the most haunted house in England continues to captivate the imaginations of those who believe. In the end, whether Borley Rectory was truly haunted or the product of overactive imaginations and exaggerated tales is a question that may never be fully answered. But for those who lived through its horrors, the memories of what they experienced remain all too real. The ghostly nun, the poltergeist activity, the writing on the walls, all serve as chilling reminders of the unexplained forces that sometimes break through into our world, leaving behind only fear, mystery, and unanswered questions.
Want to dig deeper in the paranormal deep dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new paranormal deep dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.